This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, everyone. Welcome. Today is a really big day. And today, as you can see, we have Usada with us already. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Usada, how are you doing today?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing great.
Are you excited? How are you feeling right now? Are you excited? Are you nervous? Are you stressed? Are you happy?
Probably a little bit of everything. Everything you just mentioned. Alhamdulillah.
I see a few hundred people have rushed in and gotten ready with us, alhamdulillah, for our exciting announcement. I know, of course, we're starting off with your speech or your discussion today, and why can I get what I want, followed by a really exciting launch announcement. I'm sure some of you have guesses. Feel free to drop them in the chat as you're coming in. And of course, introduce yourself, say your salams, let us know where you're coming in from as we warm up, inshallah, for today's session with Usada. Usada, I'm super excited for your talk. Any gems, any kind of hints that you can give us in terms of what we're going to be talking about? And then while we're guessing?
Well, I'll say this. It's going to be big, inshallah. So I know that's a really big clue there, but it's going to be big, inshallah.
Inshallah, inshallah. I'll let you guys kind of pipe into the comments and we'll see what you guys are guessing so far, inshallah. Welcome to everybody coming in from Facebook, from YouTube, and from the Al Buruj Press page. Welcome to all of you. We're super excited to have you with us for the exciting announcement today. Take a moment right now if you know friends or family members who benefit from just the topic itself and who would be excited with you. Make sure you tag them in the comments as we warm up and we get started for Usada's talk. It's lovely to see the names coming in. Now, don't mind me. I think it's going to... welcome to... There we go. Excuse me while it loads. Safiya, welcome. Sara, Hathia, Ukasha, mashallah. A new channel. Good one. Not so much. Nazmoon, Fozia, Humera, welcome to all of you who are chiming into the chat. We're warming up for just a couple of seconds as we let everyone join because we don't want anybody to miss out as we start getting started officially for the talk. Then you're going to have Usada talk for about 15 or so minutes, inshallah. So get warmed up, get ready, get your snacks, anything that you need to sort out, make sure you're sorting that right now. And then we'll jump right into it with Usada in a few minutes. Oh, new book. Good guess, but I don't think so. Close though, alhamdulillah. I can tell you, having just found out recently, it's probably going to be the highlight of your 2020. I think this is one of the few things that has saved the year. And I'm excited, especially for those who've been following you, Usada, for like years and years and years, and who've been, you know, jumping to YouTube and Instagram and Facebook and trying to chase every bit of gem, every content that they can find. I think this will be a blessing for them to have this resource and to have this exciting announcement. So hopefully I didn't give too much away with that, inshallah. It's 4:32 p.m. I know in the UK, mashallah, you guys are tuning in quite late. It's 9:32 for you. May Allah reward you for spending that extra time and staying up late for us. And we're so excited to kick off in just a few minutes with Usada. Usada, how's your day been going so far overall?
Well, actually, it's been really good. Alhamdulillah, I had the opportunity of attending some virtual conferences. So there's a lot going on this weekend. So I was really happy to be an attendee myself. I got to listen to a really great talk by Sheikh Abdul. I think his name is he's a professor in Cambridge. Abdul Hakim Murad, and he was amazing, mashallah. So I learned a lot from his talk. So I really enjoyed that, and I'm just it's just getting to be Maghrib over here. So we're 5 hours because I'm on the East Coast. You're in Toronto, right?
Yes,
so
I
you're
am.
Also yeah. So same time zone. But you're I think a lot colder right now. Has it snowed yet?
Unfortunately, it's been a little blizzardy. It's been a little, I don't know where you guys are coming in from. I'm sure the tropical peeps are going to rub it in just a bit. But alhamdulillah, it's been snow tire season for the past.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, we're just outside.
This time we had an unconventional RIS convention. So it was online. But typically I'm usually in Toronto at this time because of the convention.
I saw everyone's streams. You know, honestly, it's nice to hear that you were just talking that you were listening to lectures and stuff like that. It's nice to hear that our speakers are also students at the same time and have the same kind of passion for elevating their knowledge and consistently upgrading their deen as well. So that's awesome. I know
absolutely.
just a couple seconds, and there's so many of you who've joined us. Welcome, welcome if you joined us since we kicked off. And we're so happy to have you, alhamdulillah, for this exciting talk, Why Can't I Get What I Want with Asada Yasmeen Mujahid, followed by an exciting launch announcement. Thank you so much for those of you who are tuning in. Keep timing into the chat, keep sharing and liking, and we are about to get started officially with Asada. You can continue to guess in the comments. We won't give it away until we're ready to launch it, but alhamdulillah, it's ready. It's been prepared. There's been a lot of love, a lot of heart that's been put into it. And we're so excited for you to fall in love with it as much as we have. Asada, I won't steal any more of your stage. Inshallah, I'm going to pass it off to you to jump into the talk. And then I'll be with you in just a few minutes. All right.
Okay. Jazakallah khair, Hafsa. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Thank you for joining. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbi shrah li sabri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. It is an honor to be able to virtually connect with all of you from literally various parts of the world, alhamdulillah. And it is actually such a blessing that we have this opportunity to speak and to connect despite the distance that we have between us and some of the restrictions that we currently have. So I want to, inshallah, jump right in. This is a question I think pretty much every single one of us has asked at some point in our lives. And this is a question I actually devote an entire chapter to in my book, Reclaim Your Heart. Why can't I get what I want? I think it's a question that, you know, since we were young, at different sort of stages of our life, we've wondered this. We want to get what we want, right? You know, the heart wants what the heart wants. And sometimes I think that there are several reasons why we stumble on this question. I'm going to begin by kind of talking about some really important fundamental definitions. I think that before we can understand these kind of big questions of, you know, why don't things work out the way I want, and why do bad things happen to good people? These are really huge questions, which obviously we can't, you know, talk about and explain fully, you know, in a few minutes. It's something that, in order for us to even begin to understand or begin to grasp, we have to have certain definitional fundamentals in place. So there are a few things I want to start with to make sure that we're all on the same page when it comes to these questions. The first is that the definition of good and bad. I think this is extremely important that we clarify what it means, because to each person, a good thing, you know, one event might be considered good in someone's eyes and might be considered the worst thing ever in someone else's eyes. And so the definition of good and bad for me may not be the same as someone else. So now there's sort of a subjective understanding of what's a good thing and what's a bad thing. But I want to step back and actually look at the objective sort of capital good, capital G, and bad, capital B, you know, that the khair and the opposite of khair, or something that is shar, as we would describe it in the Quran. So now when we talk about the sort of objective good and bad, that's completely different than the subjective. So the objective good and bad has a different definition than the subjective good and bad, where I think something is good for me, it may or may not be, and you might think it's good for me, or you may think it's bad for me, and it may or may not be. But the objective good and bad has a very, very specific definition. And that is this: anything that brings us closer to our objective, ultimate purpose is good for us, capital G. In other words, it is khair. Khair, the objective type of fundamental goodness. And anything that takes me away from my ultimate purpose, my ultimate objective, is going to be bad for me, or shar. Okay, so first off, we have these definitions. Anything that brings me closer to my objective or my ultimate purpose is good, capital G, and anything that takes me away from my ultimate purpose or my ultimate objective is bad, capital B, or shar. Now the question is, what is my ultimate purpose? What is it that is my fundamental objective of existence? And that is also answered clearly in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the objective of our existence. This isn't just the objective of our time on this earth, but the objective of our existence, of our creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly defines as, Allah says, I have not created jinn and human beings for any other purpose. So here, it's important to note that the structure of this ayah begins with a negation. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ. In other words, Allah is saying that we have not created jinn and human beings for any purpose, right? For anything. And then Allah introduces the exception, which is introduced with the Arabic word illa. Illa means except. So you're beginning by a negation, which creates a totally clean slate. So there's no other confusion. So there can't be any other, competing objective, right? You have a clean piece of paper. And so Allah is saying, we have not created jinn and human beings for any purpose. There is no purpose. Illa, now the illa, except the only one singular purpose. And this structure is used in other places in the Quran to give an exceptional type of statement in order for you to understand that it is only for this, right? It can't be any other thing. And you find that the illa here, what is the exception here? That we have not created jinn and human beings for any purpose except ubudiyya, except to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to know God, to love God, to devote ourselves and our lives to God. What does it mean? What is ubudiyya? What does illa liya'budun really mean? And what does it have to do with the question of why can't I get what I want? Well, actually, it has everything to do with that question, because this defines our ultimate purpose. That's why we're here. That is our ultimate objective of creation. And therefore, anything that is aiding that objective, anything that is bringing me closer to that purpose is, in fact, good for me, capital G, even when it does not appear to be good in my subjective understanding. It is good for me in the ultimate sense, because it is bringing me closer to my objective. Now, what is ubudiyya? What does it mean to be abd to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What does it mean to say that I am abdullah? By the way, this was actually the most, the biggest honor is for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be called a abd, to be called the slave of God. And this is the biggest honor that we can have as human beings, is to be a slave of our creator. Now, the moment you hear the word slave, most people, if they're familiar with history and with the English language, slave is not typically a very positive term. It's connected with a lot of very negative. There's a lot of negative connotation to the word slave. Normally, we hear the word slave, we think of someone who is chained up, someone who is oppressed, someone who is not free, right? That's how we think of slave. But what is very, very interesting and ironic, in fact, is that the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in fact the one who is the most free. Now that sounds counterintuitive, right? But in fact, when we enslave ourselves to the one Lord, to Allah, to God, we've actually freed ourselves. The person who is the most free is the one who has enslaved themselves to God most completely. And the reason for that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-adl, for example. One of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most just. Therefore, when I enslave myself to Him, then it allows me to live a life of justice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ar-Rahman and ar-Rahim. He is the source of all mercy. He is the most merciful, and he is the source of all mercy. So when I enslave myself to the most merciful, it allows me to live a life of mercy. And every attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when I enslave myself to him, then I am given from that attribute. Every divine attribute is something, all of these beautiful attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are all things that we want, things that we crave, love, you know, justice, mercy, sufficiency. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-kafi. We know that every single need that we have as human beings is fulfilled through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it all has to do with how much are we able to enslave ourselves to him. So when I say that my purpose is to enslave myself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what that means is that any event in my life, anything that I am given or anything that is taken. Now this is very deep, because sometimes I am brought closer to Allah, or I am brought closer to my purpose through what appears to be deprivation. So sometimes it is by Allah taking from me that I am actually brought closer to my purpose. But this on the outside appears to be something bad. For example, if we look at the example of Qarun in the Quran. Now, Qarun is a man who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed with money. He blessed him with so much money and so much, you know, property. He had so much that he owned that it was actually difficult for many people to carry all of his wealth. It says how he was described in the Quran as being extremely wealthy. And he was given so much, and he used to walk among the people showing it off, right? Almost like a red carpet type of moment, right? And then he had spectators, people looking at him and saying, oh, wow, look at what he has. We wish we had what he has. You know, kind of that ooh, ah type of thing that we see with, you know, the celebrity worship type of culture. And so these people are looking at him and they're wishing they had what he had. And there was a second group of people. So Allah describes these people as those who sought this life, the people who desire the life of this world. And then there was a second group of people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave knowledge to. Those people looked at Qarun and they saw through the glitter, and they advised him to be grateful and to be humble. And his answer to them was, innama utituhu ala ilmin indi, that indeed I got all of this from a knowledge in me. He took credit for his gifts. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues in this story and tells us what became of Qarun, that actually Qarun was destroyed. Allah tells us that he and his house were destroyed. And then we're told that after that, the people who wished that they had what he had were grateful that they were never given what he was given. So now when we examine this story, and Allah does not ever tell us stories just to entertain us. Allah tells us stories because they are lessons for us. When we examine the story, we recognize that sometimes when we get what we want, it isn't good for us. And in the case of Qarun, he had what he wanted, right? He had wealth, he had all of these possessions, but was it actually good for him? In fact, getting what he wanted turned out to be the cause of his destruction, because it actually ruined him. And for many people, this is what wealth, for example, does. But not just wealth, but sometimes it's in other gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withholds in order to protect us. Sometimes Allah does not give us what we want because he knows that if he gave us what we wanted, it would ruin us. It would destroy us. And Allah knows best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. It might be that you hate something and it is good for you. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. And it might be that you love something and it is bad for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And Allah knows and you do not know. This is the essential concept we have to absorb, is that Allah knows and we do not know. Sometimes we very badly want something, but it is actually harmful for us. I want to just give an analogy to sort of explain this idea. Imagine a child. So imagine you have a two-year-old, and the two-year-old sees you cutting with a knife. Okay. And as everyone who's ever interacted with a toddler knows, they want to do everything that they see you do, right? So when the toddler sees you cutting with a knife, what does the toddler want? The toddler in that moment only wants one thing, and that is the knife. And if and that toddler, anyone who's dealt with children knows that when the toddler puts something in their mind that they want, it will be the end of the world unless you give it, right? So that toddler wants the knife. That toddler is determined to get the knife because the toddler thinks that this is what you're doing, and therefore the toddler wants the same. Maybe the toddler thinks that this is a toy. It's going to make him or her very happy. So the toddler has their eyes on the knife. Now, the question is this. If you give that toddler what he or she wants, well, what's going to happen to the child? And everyone knows that if you give a child a knife, no matter how badly they want it, all they're going to do is hurt themselves. All they're going to do is cut themselves. They can even kill themselves without knowing it. And this is what happens sometimes with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We so badly want the knife. We so badly want that thing, whatever that thing is. Maybe it's being with a specific person, marrying a specific person, having a specific job, getting a specific position. Whatever it is that we so badly want, and everybody wants different things, right? But sometimes that thing that we want so badly is a knife. And it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who knows that it is a knife. Whereas from our perspective, we're just like that child. That's what I want, and that's what I want, right? And it's the heart wants what the heart wants. But for that child, the heart wants the knife. But that does not mean that it is good for the child. And so when we ask this question of why can't I get what I want, it's extremely important that we recognize that Allah knows and we don't know. There are times when we want things that will not be good for us. Now, on the other hand, and inshallah, I want to wrap up. On the other hand, sometimes we really, really hate something. We really hate the way something is working out, or the way a certain outcome that has come to happen, right, has come to be, and we don't want it. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that is good for us. Sometimes it is bitter medicine, but it is curing us. And right now we're having a lot of debate, for example, about this COVID vaccine, right? And without getting into any of this debate, let's just imagine that there was a cure for COVID. Forget about the vaccine for a second, but imagine that there was a cure, right? And the cure, it was 100% effective. It wasn't going to have any side effects, and it was going to cure you, right? Now, if a person is ill, but imagine that I tell you that in order to get that cure, you have to be pricked. You have to have a needle prick, right? So you're going to have to endure a certain limited amount of pain, right? But that needle is going to give you the cure to the sickness. So now the question is, what are you going to say? Well, as an adult who understands the full situation, you're going to look at that and say, it's worth it, right? This is the cure. It's going to save my life. Yes, I'm going to endure a limited amount of pain, but that is medicine that's going to save my life, right? An adult can see that. But now imagine taking a child, no concept of what COVID is, no concept of what the cure is, no concept of what the medicine is. And now you try to convince that child to be, to allow you to give them, or to prick them with a needle, to give them that medicine. What is the child going to do? The child doesn't understand. So what's the response of the child? Anger, very, very, very aggressively pushing away the needle, right? But what the child doesn't understand is that they are also pushing away the cure. They are also pushing away medicine. And now this is exactly what sometimes happens to us in our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes gives us things in our lives, gives us situations in our lives, experiences in our lives, people. Sometimes the needle is a person in your life. But within that needle is a medicine. Within that needle is a cure. And that medicine and that cure actually is making us stronger. It is actually intended to save us. It is not intended to destroy us. So one could say that that child never wanted the needle. The child never wanted the cure, but the cure saved the child. And sometimes you have to give it to the child, and it is your mercy and love for the child that will force that child to get the cure, even if the child doesn't want. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high above any analogy, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has more mercy for us than a mother does for her own child. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us needles in our lives. They come in different forms. They come in forms of things we don't like. Sometimes they come in the form of pain. Sometimes they come in the form of loss. Sometimes they come in the form of people that enter our lives, that become a trial for us. But within the needle of that situation is actually a cure to make us stronger and to actually allow us to overcome and to come out of that situation stronger and better than we were before. So it's really, if you take a step back, it's about looking at the entire experience and the situation from the lens of the adult who understands the full picture rather than the lens of the child who only sees the pain. If we are able to step back and to look at the big picture of what is our ultimate purpose, and is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us this situation to make us stronger and to help us and to save us, rather than looking at it as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala depriving us or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hurting us. And so it really has to do with changing our understanding of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and what our ultimate purpose in fact is. أَقُولِ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرَ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُ وَبِحَمْدَكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ.
SubhanAllah, JazakAllah khair, Salah. That was like a big heaping bowl of heart food right there. I'll be honest, when I read the topic, I was like, this sounds like kind of like a self-centered topic. I wonder how we're going to learn from this. And I think all of you who've experienced this so far, now you get it. Alhamdulillah. JazakAllah khair for that. I think, Salah, you've kind of built kind of a legacy of helping Muslims who struggle with, you know, the way that we look at our problems and the way that we face them, and especially coming from places of difficulty and trauma, just reconnecting and rebuilding that relationship with Allah that ultimately just solves all the problems, alhamdulillah, that we have in our lives. So alhamdulillah for that. JazakAllah khair for the amazing talk. I do have a couple of questions for you before we kind of tease you guys into the big announcement that's coming up, inshallah. And I wrote them down so I wouldn't forget. But a crucial one that comes to mind immediately is, how do we learn to give up that control? Like, how do we find that balance of not doing anything and let Allah just take care of our lives? I have some friends who are like, you know, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to let Allah do everything for me. Oh, and of course, tying our camels and moving ourselves forward and actually contributing to our own success. How do we find that balance?
Really, really important question. So I think I'll begin by asking this question. Why do we pray? Why do we fast? Why do we give zakat? And the answer to all of these questions is one thing: because Allah said so, because Allah told us to. Why do we wear hijab? You know, sometimes we have all these debates of like, but why hijab? Can I be modest if I, you know, can I still be modest and not wear hijab? Well, that's actually irrelevant ultimately, because we wear hijab for the same reason we pray, for the same reason we fast. It's because Allah said so. And so really it goes back to that concept of ubudiyya, right? Of enslaving myself to Allah and thereby freeing myself from the slavery to any other thing. That's essentially what Ubudiyya is. And so when we look at that, when we look at why is it that we do these things, it's because Allah said so. Now that brings me to the question of why should I tie my camel, right? What does it mean to tie my camel? So the reference comes from a situation where there was a companion and he was not tying his camel. He told the Prophet ﷺ that the reason he was not tying his camel is because he had trust in Allah. He had tawakkul, right? So now here the Prophet ﷺ uses it as a teaching moment and he says, "I'aqilha wa tawakkal." Tie your camel and at the same time put your trust in God, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what does this mean? What this means in our life is that we, yes, we know that it is Allah who sends rizq. It's Allah who sends provision in our life. But we are also commanded to go out and seek a job, right? We don't just sit, you know, at home on our couch and say, Allah will send the rizq to our door. Can Allah do that? Yes, of course he can, right? But it is actually part of our worship to go out and seek a job, because it's part of the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger that we take the means. This is called asbab. Asbab is the tools, the means. And in this case, it would be to go out to seek a job, to put out your resume, to go and do interviews. That is part of taking the means. And it is part of our obligation. Just like we have to pray, just like we have to fast, part of our obligation is seeking the means, is going out and doing our part, doing our job. Now, I'm just going to quickly give you two examples of that we have in our, Quranic tradition. One of them is example of Musa alayhi salam. When he's standing in front of the Red Sea and he has the superpower army coming behind him, Pharaoh, and in front of him, he has this huge obstacle, which is the Red Sea, right? And so at this point, obviously, it looks like he's trapped, right? فَلَمَّا تَرَاءَ الْجَمْعَانِ قَالَ أَصْحَابُ مُوسَى إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ, that the people of Musa said, we're going to be overtaken, right? The Bani Israel are starting to, you know, panic. And then Musa قَالَ كَلَّا إِنَّ مَعَيَ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ, he said, no, by no means. Indeed, my Lord is with me, and he will guide me through this. He will get me through this. So we know that Musa alayhi salam had this perfect type of tawakkul in that situation. But now look what comes next. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him to take an action. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him to strike the sea with his staff. And so we see here this relationship between tawakkul and action, right? The tawakkul and tying the camel, that even though he had full trust, he was like, no, by no means am I going to be overtaken, but he was still commanded to take an action. And this is part of our ubudiyya. It's part of our worship. Sami'ana wa ata'ana. We hear and we obey. Allah said, pray, we pray. Allah said, fast, we fast. Allah says, take action, we take action. Allah says, take the means, we take the means. Allah says, tie your camel, we must tie our camel. And so it is very important that we understand this is actually part of our worship, to take the means and to take action, towards whatever it is that is our goal. And then the second example quickly that I'll give is the example of Hajar. Hajar was also in, you know, she was in an impossible situation and she had full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But again, she didn't just sit there. She didn't just sit and wait for Allah to send water, from the sky or from some other source. She got up and she strove. She ran between Safa and Marwa. And she didn't do it once. She didn't do it twice or three times or even just five times. She did it seven times. This sa'i is, even the process itself is called sa'i. It means to strive. She strove. She didn't sit passively in that state called tawakkul. Because tawakkul is an act of the heart. It isn't an act of the limbs. See, the heart has to have tawakkul while the limbs are taking action and striving, striking the sea and running between Safa and Marwa.
Beautifully said, Ustada. Next question that I have for you is, can we ask Allah to not test us with specific things if we're really wanting or striving for one thing? Can we ask, Allah, just don't test me when it comes to finances. Just don't ever make that my struggle. Protect me from that aspect. Or don't test me when it comes to love or when it comes to marriage. Can you actually specify the things you don't want to be tested with? That's kind of a way around.
Yes, and I highly advise it. I highly advise such du'a. We should actually be asking Allah not to test us. It's actually insanity to ever ask for tests. And I know you're not asking about whether to ask for tests, but I think it's actually quite wise to tell Allah, Ya Allah, I am weak. Ya Allah, help me. Ya Allah, do not test me. That is actually the du'a of the wise. So in fact, yes, we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make things easy for us. We should ask Allah to save us from tests. We should constantly be besieging Allah. We should constantly be seeking the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a beggar, not as someone who thinks they're strong. You know, I got this, right? Terrible idea. Terrible idea, because a person who acts as though they can handle anything is asking for tests, and we cannot handle anything. We are, by definition, as human beings, created weak, and we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we should never be arrogant or complacent enough to think, I got this. But rather we should be in a state where we say, I don't got this, and Ya Allah, please protect me, and Ya Allah, please save me, and make it easy for me. That is the proper humility of a believer. And in fact, if you go and you study the way that prophets were, peace be upon them all, they were all like this. They never had this attitude of, I got this. Even look at the confidence of Musa alayhi salam when he's standing in front of the Red Sea and the army is coming. Where is his confidence coming from? He doesn't say, I got this. He says, Kalla inna ma'ya Rabbi sayahdeen. He says, my Lord is with me and he will get me through this. He doesn't say, I will get you through this. He doesn't say, you know, don't worry about it, Bani Israel. I got you. I'll get you through this. I'm really strong. I got my staff. That's not his attitude. His complete attitude is, Allah will get me through this. And this was the attitude of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he used to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَكِنِّي إِلَى نَفْسِي طَرْفَةَ عَيْنِ. What is he saying? He's saying, do not leave me to myself for the blink of an eye. That is humility. That's a human being sallallahu alaihi wasallam who recognizes that he needs Allah. He's asking Allah, don't leave me even for the blink of an eye. That's a really short time, the time it takes to blink, right? And yet he's saying, do not leave me to myself even for that amount of time. He didn't have this false, I mean, this is something I'm noticing, you know, especially recently with the new wave of gurus and like life coaches and you know, this sort of, there's like this trend of like, you're amazing and you got this and like, you're unbeatable and you're unstoppable. And like, no, that's not true. Like, you are not unstoppable and you're not unbeatable. And in fact, every single one of us is stoppable and beatable. And it is only by Allah and the strength that is given to us by Allah and the ability that is given to us by Allah that we can handle anything. And that's the meaning of la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah at a root level, that there is no change, no power, no strength except by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the attitude that we have to have, an attitude of dependence on Allah and a realization that we are helpless. Completely helpless, if left to ourselves. We are helpless without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance.
Beautiful. And the last question that I have is, how do you kind of alleviate the pain of the waiting, of the not knowing when or how or what's going to happen next? How do you alleviate that? How do you kind of give yourself hope when you're not seeing the light at the end of the tunnel?
Wow. that's a very personal question for me, actually. And I definitely can relate to that concept of waiting and having to wait when you don't know what's going to happen, about things that are very, very important and things that are essential in our lives. And I think that for me personally, it is difficult. It is difficult to wait. It is difficult to be uncertain. It is difficult when you don't know what's going to happen. But I will say that what personally in my own life gave me solace is the realization of who is watching out for me while I'm waiting, and who is with me while I'm waiting. Because, you know, at the end of the day, it's not really the cold that hurts us. It's not the hunger that hurts us. It's the lack of shelter and the lack of food. So, you know, it isn't the trial itself, but it's having that trial without having the provision to protect us during that trial. You know, you think about, for example, the conditions in Canada right now. You know, it's freezing outside, but you're safe, you know, Hafsa. And the reason that you're safe is because you're inside and you have a working heater. And so it isn't the cold that kills us, but it's having a condition of cold without protection, without that shelter. And so I really, really think it's about finding shelter in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even while you're in that trial, right? Because it's still cold outside, right? It's still freezing outside, but you're inside shelter. If it's raining outside, but you're inside, you don't get wet. And the reason is that you're inside of the shelter. So even while you're going through that time of waiting, that time of uncertainty, that time of trial, but as long as you are with Allah in that trial, then you are safe and you are warm and you're dry, right? So I think it really has to do with what is your state while you're waiting. Are you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And you know, lastly, actually, while I was going through some of my own trials, my husband sent me this ayah, and it was like, it was so comforting. It was something I had found comfort in, you know, at various points in my life. But this ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wasbir li hukmi rabbika innaka bi'ayunina fa innaka bi'ayunina." So the meaning of this ayah is have patience for the decision of your Lord, for verily you are in our eyes. And it's like, basically Allah is saying, have patience while the decision of Allah is coming, right? For the decision of Allah, and recognizing that it's only the decision of Allah. It's no one else's decision that's going to come to be. It's only what Allah wills that's going to, wallahu ghalibun ala amrih, right? Allah is overpowering over his own affairs. It's only Allah who decides. This is an ayah from, a portion of an ayah from Surah Yusuf, that only Allah is the one who decides. So when Allah says, have patience for the decision of Allah, number one is the realization that only Allah's decree will come to be, right? So it's not my decree, it's not yours, it's not your enemies, it's only Allah's, right? And second, that while you are waiting, so Allah gives you that comfort of have patience that it's the decision of Allah that's going to come, right? Have patience for that. And then the second part is that فَإِنَّكَ بِآيُنِنَا, that you are in our watchful eye, that Allah is watching over you even while you wait.
Man, that everyone else who is listening, you guys are lucky you don't have your cameras on so you can bawl your eyes out. That visual is powerful, that you're inside, you're warm, you're protected by Allah. That's just incomparably powerful. Jazakallah khair for that, Usada. SubhanAllah, it's hard to recover from that one. But I did have questions. I know people have been patiently waiting, speaking of. So I did have a question, and your test right now, Usada, is to answer this without giving it away for one last opportunity. And then, inshallah, you can let everyone know what we're talking about at the end of your answer, okay?
All right, and my question is,
So this big launch, this big announcement that you've been kind of throwing your heart and your soul into for the past, you know, decade, mashallah. Why is this such a big deal? Why is it kind of bigger than everything that you've ever done, like almost nearly everything that you've done so far? And who is this meant for? If you can tell us what it is or how important it is without telling us what it is.
Oh, wow. That's a hard one. Okay. Why this is so important to me personally, and who I think it's meant for. This is a collection of my, essentially my life's work. And I say that as a big statement, but I'll explain why I mean that. A lot of my blood, sweat, and tears have gone into this project. You know, throughout my own personal journey, my own spiritual journey, my own religious journey, I've been through, you know, very painful things sometimes, and I've also learned various lessons along the way. Sometimes the hard way, not usually the easy way. Unfortunately, that's not my personality. You know, those kids who, like, you can tell them but they won't listen unless they do it and they experience it and then they learn. I was one of those kids. And I continue to be one of those people. So it's a lot of experiences that taught me the hard way. And as I was kind of going through these experiences, I wrote and I taught. And a lot of that work was really blood, sweat, and tears for me. And at a very sort of deep level, because for me, my work is it's very personal. I don't just teach like concepts like okay, I learned this concept in a book and I'm going to teach it. I try to teach things that I'm going through in a sense, or sort of like experiential things. Like when I say something, I try to make it something that is like something more real, you know, like something that I've really found to be true through experience, not just, you know, kind of read it. So I try to teach things at a practical level, not just, you know, conceptually, but how does this apply in our lives? How does this apply in our relationships with God, but also with people? And that's really a big theme in my work. And so as I've sort of been on this journey myself, I've been collecting this work, and it's been a really, really, it's a labor of love, but it's definitely been a very long and sometimes difficult journey. And now there's this sort of collection, and it's kind of a very comprehensive project that we're about to, inshallah, announce.
All right, Asada, you've passed the test. I think we're all at the end of our seats, edge of our seats right now. So please tell us, what is this collection? What is this amazing launch and project that we are finally officially going to learn about, inshallah, today? Bismillah, go ahead.
Well, so as I mentioned, you know, throughout the years, I've some of you have, alhamdulillah, been sort of along in some of this journey, but I've had the opportunity to visit various communities around the world to teach courses, different tours, and classes. And as you know, we've been going through this journey almost 10 years now. That content has been collected. And this is content that hasn't been made available until now. So over the years, over the last several years, going on a decade now, each time that I would visit many of these countries and I'd be on these tours, that content was being recorded, but it wasn't being shared just yet. It was being collected. And I was kind of like, it's interesting because, you know, Zaid can attest to this. I was always kind of impatient myself, like, you know, why can't we share this? I want to share this. I want to be able to give people access to it. And, you know, it was a project. It was being built. And I wanted to be able to share it because I truly believe that these are concepts that can save people's lives, you know, literally and psychologically and spiritually and emotionally. Why? Not because they're my concepts, but because these are things that Allah and His Messenger have told us, and just trying to find a way to take those concepts and apply it to our practical everyday life. So I've wanted to make that accessible, and now it finally is accessible. So what we've done is we've just launched a new website called YMTV, and this website is a collection of this work, these tours, this content, these seminars that were not previously available. They're not available anywhere else. This is content that you know, is not on YouTube. Much of it, some of it, is content that literally I've been doing and collecting you know, for several years. And so it's that on the one hand where it's all in one place. You know, these various tours and seminars that I've done in different parts of the world. But then there's another part of this that I'm personally really excited about, and I think that makes it really unique versus, you know, for example, when you go to YouTube, you get to sort of, it's a one-way sort of interaction, right? You get to hear the speaker, but there isn't a lot of interaction back and forth. And I think that's what really I'm most excited about, is that this is an opportunity that I have now to interact more with you. And that is that this is going to be a platform where I'll be, inshallah, you know, interacting live. I'll be having live Q&As many times a month. Inshallah, at least once a week, I'll be having, you know, this content where I'll be teaching almost like, you know, as we kind of go through our journey spiritually, I think that oftentimes we'll like go to an event, we'll hear a lecture, we'll read a book. But it's like these one-time events, you know, we have like a class we go to, or we go to a lecture, or we read a cool book, right? But oftentimes it'll be, maybe we get like a high and then we kind of go back to our everyday life. What I think is really unique here is that it's an ongoing type of relationship. You know, one thing that's really, really really important is this, in order for us to develop spiritually, we need an ongoing type of tarbiyah. Just like with a child, for example, you can't just like raise them for 5 minutes, right? Or even for 5 months or 5 years, but it's an ongoing process of development. And it's the same thing spiritually. We need sort of an ongoing process of development. Why? Because human beings are constantly growing, and we're constantly experiencing things in our lives. And so what's really unique here is that it isn't just a one-time lecture. Okay, we saw the lecture, but it's sort of an ongoing relationship, sort of like a halaqa, but it's virtual in the sense that we can connect with people from all over the world. So it gives that access that you wouldn't necessarily otherwise have, because, you know, we can't be in 100 places at once. But this kind of gives you that access to have that ongoing interaction, and it's exclusive. So you know, these are things that that are exclusive to members and people who register. So I personally feel like it's a very like deep thing for me, just because I've been working on this for so long, and I've been, I've tried my best to give the best I can every time I teach a class or every time I do a seminar or a tour. And now this is an opportunity to give back, to give it back to the community, inshallah.
Inshallah. And I think, subhanAllah, I think this is the answer to a lot of the eyes that people must have been making in 2020, myself included. So alhamdulillah for that. I know a lot of you guys are, mashallah. First of all, some of you got close with the guesses. So pat yourselves on the back, those of you who got close. I think the closest we had was Yasmin Mujahid Academy. Close enough, I think.
I like that name. Academy.
Better, yes, mashallah. So I know a lot of you have questions. You want to figure out, you know, how does this actually practically work? What does this look like? What's going to happen next? So inshallah, what I'm going to do really quickly right now is to share my screen so that you guys can actually peek into the actual outside of the portal and the inside, so you know exactly what you're looking at, inshallah. So bear with me for 1 second. And for those of you who are wondering about the link, don't worry, I'm about to share my screen right now, and you'll be able to see what the exact link is as well for those who are having trouble with it. So alhamdulillah, this is what the website itself looks like. It's yasminmujahidtv.com. So you guys can quickly pop over there if you want to follow along with me and see the website for yourselves, inshallah, if you're coming in from a desktop or a device, a mobile device. As you jump right into it, you have a welcome video from Ustadh Yasmin herself. It's a very easy to navigate site, so you won't have a hard time, inshallah. You have some information about the benefits of the membership, the exclusive content that you're going to have here, as well as a lot of the topic, love and marriage, reclaiming your hearts, of course, the title of Zada's book, Ibadah, spirituality, mental health, domestic violence and abuse, divorce and separation, and so much more. This is just what you get as soon as you come into the portal. So there's a lot. This is just the where you start off with. So it's going to take you some time to get through all of this content. And then there's going to be more and more monthly content on top of this. And if you have questions and discussions and engagement that you want to have with Zada about these topics, you will then, inshallah, be able to do so. So when you look at it, yes, inshallah. So when you look at it, it's very easy to come right in. So this is the account itself. I'm going to actually go in because I'm logged in, alhamdulillah. And you can see how you can watch the actual modules that are already available for you. So as soon as you sign up for the portal, you can actually have access to it if my internet will hopefully, inshallah, allow me to do so. If not, it's not letting me show you an exact module.
So Hafsa, apparently, I think there was so many people who went.
That's, oh no!
Yeah, I think that the website sort of temporarily crashed. But it's I think because there were a lot of people that went all at once. Mashallah, so that's a good problem. It's a good problem. But inshallah, it will be resolved. very shortly. But make sure that inshallah people have the website. It is up and running. We actually launched it yesterday officially, or it was active yesterday. For those people who had pre-registered, they were the first to get access. And it is now live. Hopefully it's now up and running again, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. I mean, it's loaded. So you guys calm down for a second. Maybe just watch the screen now and then inshallah, pace yourselves. Okay. But it will be, inshallah, as we grow, the website will be able to handle more and more and more of you, mashallah. But I know there's like a few thousand of you trying to access it immediately. So I'm sure it was overwhelmed by all the love. So as you can see, there are a ton of videos per topic that I've just listed out earlier. So the first, obviously, is love and marriage, but there's so many more and there's going to be so much more added. This is just the content that's already available. There's going to be new and exclusive content for this website specifically, inshallah, by Usada Yasmeen, as well as future content by guest speakers on a variety of topics. So you have a ton more to look forward to than just what you see, but what you see is going to keep you busy, inshallah. I have just a wee bit of a clip that I selected for us to watch, inshallah. Actually, you can tell I started watching it already. So I'm going to show you guys a little bit of it, and then inshallah you'll have a better idea of what to expect in the actual videos. We'll finish off with some questions. You can drop some as well, and we'll wrap up. Bismillah. Let's see if you can hear this. Let me know if you have any issues, guys.
So if you can shift your focus, you'll shift what looks biggest in your mind. Now, I'm going to give you guys practical tips here of how to do that, right? Problem focused, what's missing, yeah? So when you have a problem, obviously we have problems in our lives, right? Here's the thing about life. At any given moment, we all have problems. At any given moment, we all have difficulties. You know what else is happening at every given moment? We all also have blessings. And we all also have ease. And not one ease, but plural. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna ma'al usri."
All right, guys, I could be here forever. I could spend the rest of the day, inshallah, watching with you guys. But this is just a tiny taste, a tiny gem from the website itself for you guys to benefit from, inshallah. There's so much more for you to uncover and explore. There's tabs on tabs of topics, inshallah. And this is just the foundation. So I'm so excited for those of you who are jumping in already. Alhamdulillah, a few people are mentioning that the website is back up. So if you are trying to access it, not all at once, everyone, one by one, get in a line, inshallah. Visit yasminmujahidtv.com for this amazing new venture that Usada has started. Usada, I know this has been, you mentioned, a long time coming. And I know, subhanAllah, it's so universal, so across the board. These are topics and, you know, questions that people were even mentioning in the chat. It was funny enough. Someone's like, can you talk about mental health a little bit? And I was like, just wait on 1 second. So how are you feeling right now? And what are you excited about kind of having your entire community in one place and able to interact directly with students? Sometimes you get lost in the whole interwebs with so many students vying for attention, so much going on. Now you will have an intimate group of students that you can focus yourself on, inshallah. So what's your first thing that you're excited about?
I think that really is the part that I find to be really unique, is that having that exclusive sort of group of people that you can kind of interact with more than you would, you know, through a YouTube video. It's an opportunity to really get you know, give back, to have that give and take. People, as they go through their lives, you know, this is something that I noticed with my own halakha, you know, my own local halakha, is that, you know, you'll learn a concept, for example, in that lesson for that day. But then the next week, there's an experience that happened during that week where now that concept was sort of had to be implemented. And then now we question certain things. And so these are not concepts that we just like learn and repeat, but they're ones that we have to live, right? And they become real through experience and through life. And so it's an opportunity to have that give and take, because, you know, I might learn a concept today, right? But then maybe, you know, 3 months later or 3 years later, it has a completely different meaning because of what's going on in my life. And so that's really, really what I think is really unique, is that it's sort of an opportunity for people to take that journey alongside you, you know, so that you're not kind of alone in that journey, but you have someone, you have not, and not just me, but that there's a community of other people who are on that same journey with you.
SubhanAllah, honestly, I'm super excited. I wish I could show you more of it, but the website is mashallah, still overwhelmed by all your love. So inshallah, I'm super excited to have everyone on the other side to actually join you guys inside the portal with Ustada and to kick us off officially with the new launch. Alhamdulillah, thank you so much for everyone who's tuned in. I've loved gifting Ustada's books every time I have the opportunity. So I think this is a beautiful way that you can gift and you can share some khair before the new year. And the timing is perfect, alhamdulillah. 2020, we needed a little bit of help. 2021, inshallah, it's going to be our year. Now we have a whole new platform, a whole series of supports, alhamdulillah, a whole community to look forward to, inshallah, going in to yasminmujahidtv.com. So everyone check it out, join the family, join the squad, and feel free to chime in once you got a chance to register and to join everyone in. And we look forward to having you guys in future lives. Ustada, do you want to wrap up with anything before we close off, inshallah?
Yes, I have a request, actually, and that is for your dua. I want to ask, and this is something that I like to start all my classes with, my seminars and my tours, is to ask you to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put benefit and to put barakah and to put tawfiq in this effort. I ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it beneficial for every single person involved, and to make it a means of allowing us to get closer to our ultimate purpose. And if I can ask everyone, inshallah, who's listening, to just make that dua, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put benefit and tawfiq in it, and that every person who actually interacts with it can find benefit in it. That's my dua, and I ask you to make that dua. Jazakumullahu khairan, and I hope to be able to interact with you further.
Beautiful, inshallah. Just as a recap for those of you who are asking or who came in a little bit later, just some basic reminders about what the website and what this launch is about. So alhamdulillah, yasminmujahidtv.com is going to allow you to have exclusive access to over 10 years of content that Ustada has had recorded that is not available on YouTube or anywhere else online, inshallah. You'll have access to an internal community of supports with live Q&As and discussions that are exclusively with Ustada over the course of several times, inshallah, in a month. And alhamdulillah, you're going to have this access unlimited. You're able to come in at any time, to access it easily through a mobile device, and to actually take it at your own pace and to keep up with it, alhamdulillah, with new content coming up exclusive to you as a member inside the portal at yasminmujahidtv.com. Jazakallah khair for tuning in. If you have any more questions, maybe give us a bit of time to recover from the love and check out the website. There's all that information available there as well as that little welcome video from Ustada. We look forward to having you on the other side and for having you joining our amazing community, inshallah, online. Jazakallah khair, Ustada, for putting all the blood, sweat, and tears. I know this is such a short little intro to it, but inshallah, everyone will appreciate the actual extent of it, inshallah, in the portal itself. But may Allah reward you immensely for healing our hearts, our minds, and for allowing us to fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again, and to reset and repair our lives through that process. Inshallah, we look forward to connecting with you all. Take care, stay safe. Ustada, yourself as well. I think I hear a call, inshallah, in the background. So take care, and inshallah, we'll see you in the new year and inside the portal. Bismillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.